Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hey there, Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK, stevejonesshow.com, wkok.com. Sean here, and Steve will be there in just a moment in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast. It is available on iTunes, Apple Podcast app, Google Play. You can also find 3 months of shows always archived at stevejonesshow.com. Easy to find our show for the podcast. You go to either Google Play, if you have an Android-powered phone. If you have an iPhone or an iPad, just go to iTunes. Or if you have the Apple Podcast app on your Apple device, tap on that in the search bar. Just type in Steve Jones Show and subscribe. That's it. And after our shows air live on WKOK, we drop them to your smartphone and tablet, just like that. So you can listen to them anytime, anywhere.
Wow, that's scary.
It is.
That's scary. I mean, what's next? I mean, with Halloween coming up, what's next? We're going to drop the suit and the coach and their broadcast onto the phone?
Well, actually, now, it's kind of ironic you said that. you can now listen to... You can go back and listen to Shikellamy game podcasts. You go to WKOK.com, just go to our Shikellamy Braves football page, and click podcast. You can replay any of the 2018 games, Shikellamy podcast. And we're doing the same, too, for the Lewisburg games on the Valley and the Seawinds Grove games on Eagle 107. After they air live, we put them on the website.
www.suit.com. I'll take care of that issue. Yes. www.suit.com. What do you think?
All right, I'm going to see if anyone has taken that.
Let's see if anybody has that.
Here we go. Suit.com under construction.
See, he should go with this. I mean,
looks like someone already took it.
Oh no!
It looks like an internet network has already purchased suit.com.
How about the suit?
Okay, thesuit.com. Okay.
Yeah, let's try that. Can't keep coming up with all the ideas for this guy.
That looks like they got that too.
What?
Yeah, the same internet network. Looks like they bought that domain as well.
Okay, then let's think French. Les suit.
Okay.
You gotta think French here.
L-E, les
suit.
L-E-S-U-I-T.com. Oh, here we go. That could be available. I think it's available. Lesuit.com.
I mean, look, he's sophisticated.
Yeah.
You know, a little French?
Sure.
You're not buying.
Oh, I'm in.
No, you're not buying the fact he's sophisticated.
Well, he could be in his own house.
No, you and I know all the people in this house.
Yeah, that's true.
No, he'd be third.
Or fourth, maybe.
Yeah. No. All right. James Franklin has a press conference today. And, one thing he doesn't want his team to make an issue of is the fact that they're playing Friday night. Didn't want him to think that way. And that's exactly right. I mean, in fact, really at this point, everything's got to feel normal. Because yesterday was the day where they would be, they don't practice Mondays. But today's Tuesday. So, you practice every Tuesday anyway, so what's the big deal? Then you got tomorrow coming up. Wednesday, you always go Wednesday. Okay. So, that's no big deal. Shouldn't be a big deal now. And I think Lovie Smith has done the right thing with his team. In other words, he has taken the approach of I recruited all these guys. I'm just going to start playing them. That's smart. That's what I'd do. The other guys weren't good enough to get it done for anybody else. You might as well start playing guys you think out of shop. Yeah, that's how I view it. For the old-timers, let's go. Tony and Shamokin, for example. Tony and Shamokin knows what I'm talking about with this. Ironically, it was also a Friday night game. But 1967, Joe Paterno was 5-6 in his career at Penn State. I went down and played Miami on a Friday night. Friday night. Hot, humid night. I think it rained during the day there. And if you've ever been in Miami when it rains during the day, because I have. Not great. And Joe, one by one, it's 1967, all right? But Steve Smearin, have him join Reed, get Neil Smith. I mean, he started one by one, started putting guys in there. And just started playing all the guys he recruited. Took the veterans out. Well, Lovie Smith hasn't done it one by one. He's just done it in mass. And to be honest with you, that's the way to go. I think he's doing the right thing. Now, the big question about Illinois is this. Who's available? Now, we know Larry Boyd's been suspended for the year, so he's done. Tight end Lou Dorsey's been suspended first three games. Bennett Williams, the safety, first three games. Nate Hobbs, first three games. Kamoni Green, first three games. He's a wideout. Hobbs is a corner. Williams is a safety. Dorsey's a tight end. All right. We don't know when these guys are coming back. And so the assumption is that these guys are coming back now. That, I mean, use some logic here. Three games, all non-conference, conference begins, they become eligible. So I think that's how you got to look at it. And all the, and you can't get so wound up about it because there's no tape of them this year. You scout these things. You take a look at personnel. And again, if your execution is better, it doesn't matter. But it is a mystery. As to whether or not they'll play. Now, Boyd won't play. The left tackle, he is out. They have suspended him for the season. He is fried. Because of his ability to play this year. So that's the part you don't know. And quarterback, you don't know. Bush had a hamstring, didn't play against South Florida. Rivers, the freshman, stepped in, played very well. He actually played well. They don't have a great passing attack. I mean, they want to run the football. Epstein's a good player. Corbin's a good player. The two running backs are both good players. But they want to run the ball.
And they got some guys in conjunction with their offensive line that can run the ball. Okay.
But that's Friday night. We have an entire game plan where Shikellamy football will be on, and then when the game's over, then they'll go to Champaign and join us. So, that plan was concocted by one person and one person only. Who was that person?
Should I unveil it?
Sure.
Truth?
Yeah.
Was not the suit.
Oh, no, the suit wanted to be on 94K.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
And you said you were going to reveal it.
No, actually, I was from Raj.
Well, it's the right decision.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
Knocking the suit off 94KX was the right decision. That kills him. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Tim Brando later today. He'll be on a 4:06. Coming up on Thursday, Brian Barnhart, the play-by-play voice of Illinois football, and Penn State basketball coach Patrick Chambers. And Friday's show will be live from Champaign. An entire hour after the show to just sit on the bus and wait to leave. Well, the women's soccer team at Penn State is playing at Northwestern Thursday. They're playing at Illinois on Saturday. So I asked Erica Dombach today, I said, you guys going to go to the football game or not? I mean, because sometimes routine comes into play. She says, well, so the closest hotel we could get was about a half hour away. I said, what are you up in, Rantoul? She says, I think so. And she says, routine-wise, maybe not. I said, we'll watch it on TV. I said, no offense, but I think there are plenty of seats available. But, yeah. So, they'll be around there, but they're not going to go to the game, it looks like. But, just an interesting side note. It's not going to take long to get over there because the hotel is across the street from the stadium. It can't be any closer.
I was going to ask you if it was the same hotel that you normally stay at when you go out for basketball.
No. Basketball, we stay at the I Hotel, which is actually it's actually even closer than where we're staying. It's across the street. The I Hotel is essentially their Nittany Lion Inn. And it's run by their housing and food service school. And the I Hotel, to their credit, is really, really nice. It's new. They put a lot of thought into how they did the hotel. And they have all young people in there running it, and you know, whether it's the front desk or cleaning or whatever it may be. And they do a nice job. It's attached, you know, they've got a Houlihan's restaurant next to it. They have a Starbucks in there. It's nice. So that's where we stay for basketball. And there are times we've had to stay there longer for basketball. We were there one night for a blizzard. I mean, literally a blizzard. I remember waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning and looking out my window going, "Who? Where's the stadium? I can't see it." Considering the stadium is right over there. This, where we're staying, is just across, how would I describe it? The street is a lot like Route 15, okay? Like 11 and 15 in Shamokin, like, you know, that kind of street. So you just go across there, and that's where the Trademark Center is. So it will, if it takes more than 7 minutes to get from the hotel to the stadium, I'll be shocked. Sure, we'll take the police escort. Yeah, that'll work.
And you get there in 4 or 3.5.
Well, get out of the way.
Move.
We're in a hurry. Move.
Starts at 9. Come on.
Jack and I have a broadcast.
Corey, the fullback, will help bull your way through.
That's right. So,
or no, wait, he'll already be at the stadium in 1, starting to set the gear up.
So, oh, Roger?
He'll already be there.
No, Roger's going over at 7 o'clock on Thursday night.
No.
He's going to wait. Roger goes, he's there so early, and he gets so panicky about it. I mean, like he gets, like, really, you know. Oh no! I gotta go, Roger. It's all right. And he's got me like, yeah, we're good. I guess that's called balance, right?
It is.
Yeah, we're fine. I think everything's all right. Yeah, we're fine. Don't worry about it. But
I'll be right over here. Just give me my cue. You know, we're good.
Yeah, but I mean, he did make a point today, and I talked about this earlier. Somebody's going to ask him about, well, now they got the extra day with Ohio State coming up. I mean, not really. We're getting back at like 4:30 or 5 in the morning on Saturday. Now, how long do you expect these guys to sleep? 2:30, 3? By the time they wake up, it's like they're just finished the noon game on Saturday. So there's a little bit of a difference. I think the difference will come for the coaches, because the coaches can come back, get some sleep, come in, kind of get work ahead. The stuff they would normally be doing Sunday morning, they can get done on Saturday if they wish. I mean, that'll help. There's no doubt about that. For the players, nah, they'll sleep until 2 or 3 and go, okay. Let's get ready for the next game. Tim Brando today, 4:06. Looking forward to it. And Brian Barnhart, the voice of Illinois football, on Thursday, along with Patrick Chambers. Friday night, it's the suit leading into our game. Hopefully our game will not allow the ratings to plunge.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15. And Hummel's Wharf. By the way, did you see that the Yankees-Red Sox game was supposed to be played this afternoon? Moved to tonight at 7:05. That game is on Facebook tonight. Now, the Phillies have been on Facebook, I want to say, twice. Was it a Mets game and a Nationals game?
Maybe more than twice. I know they were on earlier in the season. There could have been...
It was a Mets game. I remember that.
Yeah, I know they had a Mets game on. It may have been also, too, a one of those midweek business person specials. It could have been an away game. I think it was Phillies at Cardinals. I think there was an away game where it was on, too. That was very early in the season. So
nobody likes it. I mean, I understand the experiment with it, but nobody likes it. Look, put the games on TV. Let people see them. Radio, let people hear them. And then use the streaming outlets to do that. That's what people want to see. They don't want to watch a game on Facebook. Ads down the sides. And bottom, that's ridiculous. Okay.
It's like a simulcast, just added on to Facebook, too. And that's just another choice, another option if you have it.
Well, I think the Facebook thing for them is wrong. It's the wrong way. I see too much overreaction to what life is like today. And it's not the right way to go. I mean, if you want to stream it, take the local broadcast that you have it and stream it. That's what people are used to. Go with what they're used to and what they're comfortable with instead of trying to reinvent the wheel. There's no way in the planet I'm going to sit here and watch Facebook and watch the Yankees-Red Sox game. There's no way. The heck? Not my job to make Mark Zuckerberg rich. 1915, the first asphalt-covered automobile racetrack was opened in Cranston, Rhode Island. Suit Sr. was on hand for the unveiling. Did you like that, Suit Sr.?
Like that.
Yeah. Mickey Mantle hit his 50th home run in 1956. He won the Triple Crown in 56. Now, Charlie Finley was the owner of the Kansas City A's. And a lot of people don't realize that he tried to move the A's to Dallas-Fort Worth in 1962. And Major League Baseball told him no. Eventually moved the A's to Oakland in 1968. Then, of course, the Royals came in as an expansion team in 69. 1965, Mickey Mantle played in his 2,000th game. In 1972, Art Williams became the first black umpire in National League history. Mighty Ducks played the Pens, their first NHL preseason game this day in 1993. Emilio Estevez behind the bench. I'm just kidding. And in 1997, Seve Ballesteros and Nick Faldo were elected to the World Golf Hall of Fame. That is this day in sports history. Just do the local broadcast of these games. It's like they messed up. I've seen more overreaction to life in this era. There's no doubt you have to adapt. I got that part. But we're going to put games on Facebook. Oh, for goodness sakes. I'm not watching games. I mean, you can put the World Series on Facebook. I'm not watching it. It's not going to bother. I love baseball, but I'm not going to sit there and watch it on Facebook. Jeez. I'm definitely not watching tonight's game on Facebook. I'll just check online, see what the score is. See, Joe Jurevicius got robbed at gunpoint?
No, I didn't hear about this.
Oh, yeah.
That's
How
terrible.
About that?
That is terrible.
Yeah, it is terrible. Joe's one of the really great guys I really like. And evidently it was in his home. Amazing. I mean, it happened actually in his home. And not sure how much they took, but
yeah, man has been detained in connection with an armed robbery that occurred at the home of Joe Jurevicius. Happened last Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple media outlets in Cleveland report that he was robbed at gunpoint in his home, located in the village of Gates Mills, a Cleveland suburb. Mm-hmm. The incident led to the detention of a 24-year-old who is being held in a county jail. He was awaiting charges as of Monday night. A police chief says in an email He was unable to release additional details about the alleged aggravated robbery because of an ongoing investigation, but noted no one was injured in the incident. Jurevicius has declined to speak about the specifics of what occurred when reached by a TV station, but he was quoted saying, "I support the police department, I support the FBI, I support the American flag." Jurevicius spent more than a decade in the NFL with the Giants, Tampa Bay, Seattle, and Cleveland. 4,119 career receiving yards, 29 touchdown catches, and won a Super Bowl of Tampa Bay 15 years ago.
The big reason why they won the Super Bowl.
That's right.
It's a huge reason. All right. Let's get to your team for a moment, the Steelers.
Do we have
your team's
to?
A mess. Your team's a mess.
It's just I'm sick of the drama. I'm tired. I'm getting tired of it. Now you got Antonio Brown's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, said he needed a personal day yesterday. That's the reason why he did not report to the Steelers facilities. And then you see him bickering up and down the sideline in the second half. Looked like he was maybe getting a little back and forth conversation going with offensive coordinator Randy Fichtner. But I'm tired of the drama, and it's only week three. But there was drama on this team last year. It's like it's part of the DNA of the team. It's like you got to have drama this team now. And it just feels to me it's just getting to that point where it's part of the whole day in day out deal of rooting for this team is just drama. Lev Bell drama. Antonio Brown, is he going to be back in the facility tomorrow? Drama.
Well, it's a little more than just that. When you actively have offensive linemen saying and questioning somebody not being there, that doesn't happen in this league. That's different.
And you had a former Steelers employee go on Twitter yesterday and call out Antonio Brown, saying, "Hey, if you're on another team, well, that other team doesn't have Ben Roethlisberger. Let's see you put the same numbers up." And then what's Antonio do? He goes on Twitter and replies back to that former Steelers employee and says, "Hey, well, and then you trade me. We'll find out." Well, that led to Drew Rosenhaus today saying that Antonio Brown does not want to be traded. It's just little stuff like that. It's just cumulative. It just keeps adding up and adding up and just taking away of the focus this team has to have.
Right.
I just say to myself, okay, this stuff happened in New England? No. I'm not saying I don't want Mike Tomlin to become a clone of Bill Belichick. I'm not saying that, but sometimes, you look at the success of the New England Patriots, and you kind of feel a little envious. It's like, man, why just can't we have the same demeanor and discipline that they have, that they have day in and day out?
Well, the problem is they have individuals. Let's start with this. Number one, their defense is not very good. The secondary just got shredded by a guy making his third career start. I think Roethlisberger can make up for some of this. Antonio Brown's acting like a diva. You got to get me the ball, the whole deal. Okay, look, just play football, will you? You've got a running back that won't play for $14.5 million. And you have teammates looking over saying, okay, what's the deal? And Dick wants to talk about roughing the quarterback in the NFL. Hi, Dick.
Steve.
How are you today?
I'm fine. Hey, I have this question, and you might have an opinion, you might not have an opinion. This new almost non-contact with the quarterbacks in professional football.
Yeah.
And I saw where in the first 2 weeks of the NFL there were twice as many penalties against the defensive rushers as there were last year in the same amount of time.
Right.
And my only point is well, first of all, it's almost impossible for big guys like that not to actually hit the quarterback as gently as they would like you to seem to want to. And I know the reasons. I know the quarterbacks make a lot of money, and you can't afford to have them on the sidelines, you know, on crutches or in a wheelchair. But my other thing is, do you think it'll come down to where all of a sudden they'll go, oh, well, you know what, we can't have them hitting high school and college that hard either? I guess is my point, where it's almost impossible to play the sport.
Well, okay, that's a good question. The NFL, of course, has a major problem in recent years that when you hit November, how many games are we watching where the backup quarterback's in?
It can be a lot.
Yeah, and I think they're trying to do what they can, not only from the concussion point of view, but I think they're trying to preserve the Aaron Rodgers, the Tom Brady's, the Drew Brees's, the Carson Wentz's, the Ben Roethlisberger's, the Joe Flacco's, where instead of going into the game and having the fan base sit there and go, who? Who's throwing the ball? I think they're trying to do what they can to preserve that part, not just for liability and injuries, but I think for the product. Now, in college, it's a different style of game, Dick, because in the pros, I mean, look at Eli Manning the other night. Eli Manning is not a guy that can move. And you and I both know the Giants' offensive line is just horrible. And that might be a kind description. And he can't make any plays downfield. Now, in college, you have so many RPO mobile quarterbacks. And that's what's interesting about this. Quarterback in college gets hit a fair amount because of the RPO. And most of the starting quarterbacks make it through. I mean, you know, Illinois now lost their guy to a hamstring, and he might be back this week, but it was a hamstring injury. It wasn't from a hit. I think all the other starting quarterbacks in the Big Ten are fine through three games. And last year, let's see, Michigan lost Wilton Spate. I think Penn State played everybody's starting quarterback except for Spate. And Spate was lost early in the season. For some reason, I don't know if it's escapability, whatever, they're not standing in the pocket all the time. But college quarterbacks seem, on the surface, and knock on wood, Dick, they seem to have fewer injuries. Now, Bucknell had injuries to its quarterbacks last year and also this year.
I guess my point being is the very first week I was watching Houston play, and on one series, the same defensive player got flagged twice.
Right.
I mean, I can't recall watching a football game in professional level where it was called that often, let alone twice on the same guy in the same series.
Yeah.
And that's what made me think, holy cripes, they're making this almost where the defensive player can literally not hit somebody, because it's hard where you can't actually have to tackle somebody and not have somebody weight on him, I guess is the whole thing.
Right, you're right about that. And remember the play I brought up in the preseason? It was the Vikings were playing Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And I think it was the Vikings comes off the edge, hits the quarterback, which I want to say was Cody Kessler. And I'm talking, Dick, it was the definition of a perfect form tackle. Okay? Down, in between the shoulder pads and the waist, into the rib area, with the shoulder, not with the head, boom, brings him down, flag. Like, why that flag? I mean, that's the kind of tackle that you show when you're doing a fundamental breakdown. Okay, guys, watch how this is how you tackle. They claim that he drove him into the ground, and they're trying to avoid that injury. I'm like, are you ridiculous? I found that call to be ridiculous. Now, Clay Matthews this week against Minnesota, that was legit. That was a legit call, I thought.
Well, I don't know. I'm just watching 2 weeks of this, and I'm thinking, holy cripes, all Friday. I guess they're trying to take the violence out of what always was a violent sport. And I don't mean dirty either. That's not what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Oh, I know what you mean. Oh, I know exactly what you mean. Because, you know, I was watching my son, my grandson. My grandson was playing flag football on Sunday. He's in an organized league. And, you know, and the kids kind of block. I mean, they're all 6, 7, 8 years old, right? So they kind of block. They run. They grab the flag. They hold the flag up. They got it. Now, it's a fun way to play when you're at that age because I think people know I don't think you should really get into tackle football until you're in junior high school. I've always felt that. Always have. As the body development and so forth. You know, that's when I think you should do it.
But well, I know you and I have discussed the fact that and there again, you know a lot more than I do, how little tackling is done in practices in football, at the college football level, even in spring ball. And I know we go through the reasons, and some
and
of them
the
don't
pros.
Crack. But what's that?
And the pros don't do a lot of tackling.
Here was my point, and I'll use Bucknell, I use Joey Schieno for an example.
Okay.
He actually came out of high school, and he really did not play because of injuries until he's a senior. So his first real on the field contact was the game where he actually recovered a fumble, sacked somebody, and I was sitting there thinking he might not have hit anybody since high school. 5 years.
Probably.
4 years. Realistically. Probably. I mean, maybe. I know I'm exaggerating somewhat, but it just seemed that way to me.
Right. Well, you know, it's fact. At Dartmouth, they have the robot.
Right. Yeah, I knew that.
And Dartmouth has not done any hitting in practice since 2011. 2011, 2012.
But then they expect to hit somebody in a football game.
And they claim that this robot allows them to do the hitting where the robot absorbs the hit. And that's how they do it. And I guess Dartmouth has won an Ivy League championship.
I have my own opinion. I'll give you Penn State example. The very first game they played this year, Penn State scores, kicks off, the kid runs it back for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Or I guess he runs it back.
He does,
And I saw one guy literally try to arm tackle him, like reach out and arm tackle. I didn't see anybody actually confront him, try to tackle him. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, they don't practice tackling, so they just do the best they can to either slow him down or arm tackling. And
they practice tackling, but it's not on each other.
Right. Understand.
And what happens is this. Now, they do have scrimmages, Dick. Right? And when they do talk about practice tackling, if you're doing a thud is like being a fisherman of catch and release. Well, the fish gets on the hook, and then you release the fish and throw them back in, right?
Right.
Okay? Well, that's what thud is. I go up, you're running with the ball, boom. I wrap to tackle you, boom, gotcha, then I release you. So they do a lot of that, okay? They do a lot of that. But I've said for years now, and you know that, it doesn't matter. It's not Penn State. It's everywhere.
I know
it
that.
It usually is by the middle of the third game where you start to see some really good tackling because that's where the tackling is done. It's in the games.
So a kid that comes in redshirts out of high school, he redshirts and doesn't really get to do that much tackling. And then let's say he's a sophomore and plays a little bit, and maybe isn't on the field much. He might not actually really tackle somebody for 2 years, even at a Penn State level.
Well, you'll get three scrimmages in the spring. You're allowed two or three. I think it's three in training camp, and James usually takes the third one, and he has the threes and fours go at it. And he's also done live work during the season with the scout team guys. So they're actually getting much more than you realize.
But we'll go back to James Franklin. I think his after game press conference, or maybe it was at your don't you have a luncheon every week where he goes over the game somewhere, and I saw it in Penn Live on the Patriot News where he actually one of the things they asked him about the game, he blamed poor tackling. It was written down in front of me. I read it. And I hearken back to this thing, well, there's no poor tackling happens because they don't practice tackling. That was my take on that. Poor tackling.
Right, well, yeah. I mean, yeah, in other words, the consistent, okay, the running back's trying to get away from me kind of tackle. Yeah. And, which is the object. You're not supposed to be tackled, but actually you're trying to get away from
him. Well, I know we started with the with the protecting the quarterback and not hitting the quarterback in contact. I told Sean, I told somebody that I hate to think where it comes down that badminton's a more violent sport than football.
Yeah. Don't want that to happen.
Well,
I don't think it will. The only thing I worry about when it comes to football is I don't want this to become a 7-on-7 game. And I don't want that. To me, that's not the sport I grew up loving and enjoying, and I think you probably feel the same way.
Right. I know. Well, I go back to this. A good friend of mine who graduated from Mansfield, and his son graduated and played football at Mansfield, and after he graduated, they went to 7-on-7 football.
Yeah.
At Mansfield, light league football, and he told me one day, I'll never give them another penny.
Good.
Because that's not what he was. This guy played football. He actually coached football. He was a good football coach at local high school.
So, well, let me put it this way. Okay, football, the way it's played right now, draws 107,000 people to certain stadiums. Flag football draws no one. All right. I better take a break here. Thanks,
bye-bye.
Dick.
Thanks.
Okay, second hour, including Tim Brando, moments away here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.